2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you this morning, taking your calls and questions. You can text us your questions at 57500. Our next listener wants to know, they say, Ton, they have thrift that has really grown this year. Should they cut the grass of this plant down to the ground? It's used for edging their plant bed. It's about 10 feet in length.
No, I wouldn't cut it down unless it goes completely dead. The thrift, or sometimes we know it as armeria, is the Latin name on it. Sea pinks is another name. I would leave it alone and just cut it back only if you need to. If it's spreading too much, you can dig it up and split it, you know, and in a couple of weeks and give some to the neighbors or something, or continue your edge down along the walkway or wherever it is.
Is it too late to divide a variegated iris?
You know, you can divide them. I'd let them die back at this point, but the best time to do it is in late summer and August to early September. They're less likely to get diseases in them then, and if you divide them then, they're more likely to bloom the next year. So you could, and it would probably be okay, but you probably won't get any flowers in the spring.
All right, next caller is Matt from Kaysville. Good morning, Matt, and what is your question this morning?
Good morning. I have a quick question for you regarding an apple tree I have. The apple tree is a Golden Delicious. It was planted next to another apple tree, which I believe, I'm not certain of this, is a Jonagold. I would like to take out what I think is a Jonagold tree because it doesn't really produce, but my Golden Delicious is a great producer. I am concerned that if I do take it out, there might be a problem with pollination.
Do you have other apple trees within a few hundred feet at the neighbor's houses or anything?
Good question. I have a neighbor that just planted, I think it was about 2 years ago, a Honeycrisp apple, which is probably within about 50 to 100
so,
feet.
Yeah, as long as that Honeycrisp tree is blossoming, then it's most likely going to be compatible and will okay. provide pollination. Now, Golden Delicious is one of the few apples that's semi-self-pollinating or semi-self-fruitful. And so even if you cut the Jonagold down, you are still going to get some apples, but the load won't be as great as if you had another compatible pollinator.
I see. Great. Well, thank you for answering my question.
All right. Thanks so much for your call this morning. Next listener wants to know, Ton, is it too late to use quinclorac and spray bindweed?
No, it's not. Because we're going to, I wouldn't do it when we're in the snow, but as long as the bindweed hasn't frozen back, then because we're going to be in the 50s and 60s for a few days at the end of next week, I would go ahead and do it then or do it today.
Is it a good time to plant rose bushes?
If they can find rose bushes, yes. I go ahead and get those planted.
All right, let's take a call this morning from Philip. Good morning, Philip. What is your question?
Good morning.
How can we help you?
Hello?
Hello, what is your question?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I need you to turn down your radio, Philip, and yes, we can hear you. Go ahead and ask your questions.
Well, I turned my radio off. I planted a old Henry peach tree this spring, and it's done really well, but I need to prune it next spring. I was wondering how the best way to do that is.
Well, I would get on YouTube and Utah State University Extension has a good pruning video on peaches, but you wait till mid-March of next year And what I would do is you want to train that tree into more of that fan shape or that open center that we see. But the biggest mistake I think homeowners make when they do this is that they will clean all the branches off, all the side branches out to the tips, and leave the middle of the tree with no foliage. And what will happen is that the peaches are out on the edge of the tree, and then it causes those branches to collapse. So look at some pruning. You want foliage along the length of the branch, and you want peaches along the length of the branch, but you would prune it in a bowl shape.
Okay, now, should I spray that with dormant spray early in the spring?
Yes, any fruit tree I would spray with dormant spray. You can subscribe to the USU Pest Labs updates. You would go to utahpests.usu.edu.
So that's Utah Pest.
Yeah, Utah Pest, and that's plural in one word. So utahpests.usu.edu, and you would subscribe to those updates, and there's a fruit update there, and it will tell you almost down to the day when you need to spray your dormant oil and do your other treatments, because your peach tree is going to be highly susceptible to things like peach tree borer that will knock a tree out in the first 10 years of life unless you spray for it.
Okay. Also, I have some Norwegian spruce trees, and I was looking on how to prune that, and one website said that in the spring you should eliminate all of the upstarts right at the top that's reaching up except one, and leave the one that's going straight up so that the tree will continue to grow up. And I'm wondering, is that correct?
You said this is a weeping Norway spruce?
No, it's a Norway spruce. It's not a weeping Norway spruce.
Okay, so if it's just regular Norway spruce and it has multiple trunks trying to compete to be the dominant one, you need to cut the two weaker ones or cut the two out that aren't going to maybe form a good tree so that you have one going up in the air.
Okay. Well, this is right at the top. It almost looked like a devil's fork at the top. There might be three or four shoots coming off that main trunk. And they called them a leader, I think, they said.
Yeah, so you only want one leader. Otherwise,
1 liter.
Yeah, it'll have a little bit of a crook there, but as the tree grows, it'll be unnoticeable in a few years.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your input.
Yep. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener wants to know if they disturb the soil in their garden to expose pest eggs such as squash bugs and earwigs, but they also would like to put leaves in the garden soil to enrich it. How should they do it so they don't diminish their effort to kill the eggs of the pests?
Do it all at once. So chop those leaves up with your mower so that it's easier to till them in. Then put a layer of a couple, you know, 2 or 3 inches down. And because those leaves are smaller, then they can go ahead and work those in with a tiller.
Next person wants to know when they should prune their blackberries and raspberries. And also if they want to move those raspberries, when is the best time to do that?
Mid-November. Early to mid-November is the best time to move them. And sometime in November, you can prune them then, or you can prune them in early spring when snow melts off.
Yeah, bindweed morning glory is really tormenting people this year. This person's saying, is it too late to spray, and what chemical is most effective?
So if it's in the lawn, I would use something containing quinclorax, so that would be Ortho's Weed Clear. Now, that's not Ground Clear. Ground Kill would kill it, but it would kill everything. So Ortho Weed Clear and Q4 Plus are the two products that have quinclorax in them. But there's also, if you can find a Weed Be Gone product with crabgrass control, the crabgrass control is quinclorax, so that would work too.
Okay, let's take a break. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. We'll be right back.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for joining us for the final minutes of the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you. Let's go right back to our phone lines. We have Lynn, who is in Mapleton. And good morning, Lynn. What is your question?
Good morning. I have live in a subdivision, about 3rd-acre lot, and on the south border of our property, our neighbors just planted along that fence about 16 feet in 3 hybrid London plane trees. I'm worried that they're going to overtake our yard with shade and just come over the fence and canopy our whole backyard.
They will. It's the nature of the tree. They get 50 to 60 feet high and wide. And the challenge that you have exactly is over the next 10 or 15 years, if they grow, is that you're going to have a transition from a sunny to a shady yard. Now, there's really, you know, not a lot you can do. You know, you can cut the limbs at the tree, at the property line, I believe. But as far as what their trees are doing to your yard, now let's say you had a small vegetable farm and you sold vegetables at gardener's markets, and those trees were going to impact your ability to grow and make a, you know, your produce to make a living. You know, there's probably some legal things you can do, but it's, you know, the neighbors probably didn't consider the impacts they'd be having on your yard, you know, with that shade. Now, let's say they planted something different, like a columnar oak that got as tall. You would have the same situations, but the canopies wouldn't overhang into your yard nearly as much.
If they move the trees back another 10 feet into their yard, would that help much? Or our entire yard is, it blooms. Every shrub, we have a garden back there, we have fruit trees back there, everything blooms.
Yeah,
and so I am worried about it going from sunny to shady.
Would keep the canopies out of your yard even further, but the shade itself, you know, you would have more of the yard that would get sunlight, but if you have a 50-foot tree next to the property line, they are still going to cast quite a bit of shade, especially as they, you know, the sun rises in the east, swings to the south, and sets in the west. That's what you need to consider to kind of track the sun in your mind and where that shade is going to go.
Right. Okay. Thank you. I was afraid of your answer.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lynn.
Okay.
Enjoy your weekend.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Next listener wants to know, they have a crimson rocket peach. It's struggled all year. Probably has carinium blight, and they want to know what they should do to treat that tree.
If it has carinium, as the leaves are dropping, when about half of them are off the tree, they need to spray with a fungicide such as Daconil or Captan. There's a few out there, maybe liquid F-stop, but one registered for carinium. The most imperative time of the year to spray is actually in the next week or so.
All right, next question is about a snowball tree. When do you cut it back?
Boy, we need to have another intervention, Maria. Yeah, thank you.
In the spring.
Kind of gently nudging me along so I don't have to have an intervention.
Be nice.
So
not right now.
In the spring after it's done blooming.
And they want to know your opinion on the buffalo berry tree. What do you know about its growing patterns?
It's not a tree. It's going to be a big bush about the size of a lilac. And the fruit on it is something birds will feed on. They are fairly drought hardy and relatively disease and pest free. You know, are they a lilac? No, they don't get the pretty blossoms, but if you need something that would survive on being deep watered once a month and form a 10 to 12 foot high hedge line, then buffalo berry would be one that they could use.
All right. Be careful. Next question is about rose bushes. They smell like cat urine so bad. Is there any way to get rid of that smell without taking out the rose bushes? I guess
no,
you can't wash that off.
You can't. Oh. My wife, I think there's a certain percentage of the population, and it doesn't matter what it is, that just really doesn't like the smell of lilacs. And I think my bride is the same way, that she thinks they're pretty, but she doesn't want them in her yard because they just smell horrendous to her. And I think it's a genetic thing.
So there's nothing they can do.
No. All lilacs, whether it's Lilac Tree or Miss Kim or one of the old-fashioned or French hybrid, have that lilac scent.
Okay. So, but there's nothing you can do about rose bushes that smell like urine, huh?
No. Excuse me. Did I get my species confused?
You did.
Oh, I apologize.
So I tried to take you back.
Thank you. So the lilacs are one thing, but there's nothing you can do to change the scent of a plant.
Against lilacs today.
Yes.
Okay. All righty. I can't go on.
I've got cogs and springs flying out of my head because the last call was on lilacs, and I've got to do a hard reboot.
Okay. This person says you said not to trim the rose bushes in March. Theirs have grown taller.
They do need to trim in March.
Okay. Well, now they're worried that the snow is going to break them, and they've been told in the past to, you know, trim them back to 2 feet.
Well, the 2 feet is what you would do in March. And so all I would do is trim them back enough so that there's less likely to be broken by a heavy snow load. And if they need to put just a loop of string or twine around them to help, they can do that. And the reason we're not cutting them back is we want them to go dormant, and the cutting will stimulate a lot of growth. And then because most of the hybrid tea roses are barely hardy here, we are leaving as much as that stem intact as we can. So if we do get a really hard winter, because you've left those branches behind, the rose is at least going to have some of the, you know, branch survive so that it recovers the next year. So there's just, right now is not the time to be doing major pruning on roses.
When you leave the pumpkins out on the porch in freezing temperatures, does it hurt them?
You know, up against the house, they're generally protected, but, you know, like where we're at, some of the weather services are predicting an 8 or a 12 degrees, so those I'll bring inside or cover with a blanket or something to help protect them.
Okay, final question of the morning. What is the best way to overwinter ivy geraniums?
Bring them inside and put them in a window, a right west or south window. If you want to, you can do some cuttings or transplant them, but just somewhere indoors that's cool in the basement that doesn't freeze.
And that's it for us, Ton. We'll be back with you tomorrow. How about next Saturday from 8 to 11 for the KSL Greenhouse? Have a great weekend.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.